Psalms 23. Psalms 23, 1 to 6.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen. Hallelujah. I want to title the message, and I hope I can get somewhere with this message. Your next bold move. Your next bold move. This is the year of no fear. Look at somebody and say, no fear. No fear. It's the year of your next bold move. I want you to remember this. Where you are going is greater than where you have been. I want you to have that confidence in your hearts this evening. Where you are going is greater than where you have been. Your next bold move. I want to give you a few points on how to run your race, the tracks to run on. If you want a faster train, you got the metro coming into the city. If you want a faster train, you need new tracks. You get a super fast train and make it to run an old track, it will derail. So when God wants to move you forward, He wants you to have wisdom to understand the track to run on. Look at somebody and say, the track to run on. In life, we all go through sometimes a point where we have to take major decisions. Major decisions. I'm not speaking about where to go for a dosha after the service. What I'm speaking about is great decisions, major decisions. Not about the new shoes, which one to buy. You know, I had some major decisions to make in my life. One of the major decisions that I had to choose was, do I choose to serve Jesus? It was a major decision. Because I had this huge pressure around me, which was like, when I decided to step out for the Lord, well-meaning good people would ask me, so how are you going to live? How is God going to use you? See, if you don't kill, you don't eat. Are you with me? How are you going to survive with no check coming into your life every month? I did not know about decisions that you have to make, but it was a major decision. Do I serve the Lord completely? It might be about, sometimes a decision might be about, do I need to uproot myself from this land and be uprooted into another country. I remember the first time I went into US, I had well-meaning good people. As a matter of fact, a man of God came to me and said, "Pastor, why don't you pastor a church here?" Why don't you pastor a church here? So it was a major decision that I had to make. Do I leave a whole bunch of people on the sidewalk and go on? In your life, you will be faced with major decisions, and it is important that you learn the track that you should run on. As a matter of fact, somebody said there are four seasons in life. Look at somebody and say, four seasons. One is called the starting season. Open your mouth and say, starting season. It is from age 0 to 20. You have no control over that most of the time. The starting season, everything is providential. You cannot choose your language, your gender. I've heard sometimes, you know, girls in the church come to me and say, "Pastor, I wish I was a guy." And sometimes I want to look at them and tell them, "I wish I was cute." You don't get to choose your parents. You don't get to choose your country. It's all providential. If faced with an option, some of you need to choose better parents next time. That's a joke. Yeah. That's the time you just relax and enjoy. But then comes a second season in your life, which is from 20 to 40, which is called basically the searching season. Open your mouth and say, the searching season. It is when, where do I study? What do I study? Do I get married? Who do I get married? What kind of career does God expect from me? What kind of job does He expect from me? It's the time when you go to go on to say, "What do you want with me, God?" What do you want with me? Then comes the third season, which is called the success season, from 40 to 60. And success season, when I speak about that, what is success? Are you with me this evening? The success season. What do I mean by success? Let me tell you, great success is it when you have peace of mind. Between 40 and 60, you realize if you just have peace in your mind, in your heart, that is good enough. That's great success. Let me tell you, anything that money can buy is not success. I repeat, anything that money can buy is not success. Success is when you have good health at 40 to 60. If you're not feeling arthritic and cancerous, and I mean, that's pretty successful. Are you with me? If you still have all your teeth in your mouth, it's pretty successful. What is success? If you can grow up and your children that you have can grow up to love Jesus, that is success. What is success? If you are not worried about where your provisions will keep on coming, that is success. If you're just not worried. Success is finding the sweet spot in life. When there are people who love you around you, and where you love people. At 20 to 40, you can, give or take a few years, that side and this side. Generally, that's what I'm speaking about. Are you with me? If you can have 3 good friends and a couple of people who are really loving, and you can love people, and you're not carrying any bitterness or anger or thoughts of revenge, you're pretty successful. But if at 40 to 60 you're still kind of competitive and trying to put down somebody else and envious of somebody else and miserable when somebody else is blessed, let me tell you, oh boy, you need to ask God to give you really an understanding of His presence in your life, and you need to walk into that sweet spot which comes from Jesus alone, where you can enjoy the blessing of God. Success is when you can come to church and say, God is good. In those age, when you can really come to church and say, thank you, you're really good. When you can say that from your heart, that is success. If some worship leader or some pastor has to keep, you know, stirring you up and say, listen, guys, God is good. And then you think about it for 5 minutes, you can think of all the bad things that is happening in your life, and then you say, should I praise Him? Should I thank Him? Okay. What will others think? Okay, as well lift my hands and say, thank you, Jesus. Boy, you're in trouble. But if you can really come forth into church, and I don't mean a service as such, on a Sunday, if you can just come in right in the morning, and even if there's a third service or a fourth service, and go on into the night and have a midnight service, you can still thank and say, thank you, Lord, I'm hungry for you. I am hungry for you, Lord. There is nothing more important than you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. If you can really mean it from here, it is success. I learned long time back, you know, God can move upon people who are hungry. One thing that I've been praying and one thing that I keep asking the Lord is, Lord, let me be hungry for you. Because He fills the hungry with good things, but the rich He has sent away empty-handed. Such as if you're hungry for God, the things of God. You know, the last whole week I was praying and asking God, Lord, you want me to, you know, just give me a teachable spirit. Let me just be hungry. Give me a childlike spirit. I've seen your blessings upon my life, but I want to learn more. I don't want to come into a point in life where you, anybody for that matter, where you think you have arrived. And especially in the kingdom of God, you know it all, you've arrived. The more I meet other men of God, and you know, especially my travels, and see other churches and see things that God is doing, I say, Lord, give me a good appetite. When you're sick, you go to a doctor. The doctor, the first question he'll ask you is, how is your appetite? Are you hungry? If you have a good appetite, he'll say, you're healthy. If you say, no, he'll say, you're sick. Lift your hand and say, Lord, give me a hunger for you. A hunger for the supernatural. Amen. God's Spirit is always drawn to people who are hungry. Can you imagine that? On a service like this, why should God meet with you? Have you ever thought of that? I go into a service where the Spirit of God is moving, where the presence of God is, and I ask myself this question. If God is touching somebody else, that's good, but why should He be drawn to me? Unless I release faith and stay hungry. Success is when you're still hungry. Are you with me? When you think you have arrived and you know it all in life, you haven't. The fourth season is the significant season. 60 and above, significant season. It's the time, like my brother shared with you before this, it's the time of convergence or legacy and destiny, and when stuff starts to come together or things begin to make sense in your life. When you're in a searching season, you're always asking questions. But you come to a point in your life, about 60 most of the time, where you know most of the answers, and there is nobody to give that to. You want to tell your grandchildren, you want to tell people who are with you, hey, listen, but there's nobody to listen. And let me tell you, we can complain about our seasons like any good Christian. Most people, when they're young, they want to start at the top. I had this written down here. The only time you start at the top is when you're digging a ditch. The only time you start at the top is when you're digging a ditch. Otherwise, you start from bottom. Are you with me? Are you with me today? Is this helping somebody? So the five steps, and then we get on to the message. I hope I can connect and we have time to connect. The five steps. And I want you to write it down. The first word that I want to write you to write down is what is called pre-contemplation. Pre-contemplation. The second word is contemplation. The third word is action. The fourth word is rallying. And the fifth one is momentum. I repeat, the first one is pre-contemplation. What is pre-contemplation? When you sense there is a stirring inside of you, you don't know exactly what it is. You are excited on one side, but you are tense in the other side. When I had to choose whether I would serve the Lord, there was an excitement on one side, but a tension on the other side. It's the time when all disappointment starts surfacing. And you keep pushing it that is coming in front of you. Because every opportunity that comes in front of you, keep pushing it away. Because old disappointment starts coming up. God wants to do something great in your life. The man of God preaches it. You want to grab it. But the moment you're about to grab it, some old disappointment comes in. And it's almost like you pull down a shutter. That's pre-contemplation stage. The contemplation stage is the time when you begin to seriously give thought. Seriously, if you're starting, you're wanting to start a business, or you want to step out for God, or you want to go forth to do a great job, you begin to seriously think about it. You begin to take counsel with other servants and men of God. You begin to count the cost. It's almost like you got your hand on the trigger. Are you with me? But that has to lead to action. If you want to take a bold move for God, you have to think, deliberate in your head. Simple things. Is prosperity for you? Is healing for you? Is a breakthrough for you? Generational blessing for you? Think about it. Study the scriptures. Meditate upon it. But then come to a point of decision where you say, I might be suffering from a sickness in my body, but you are absolutely sure God will heal. Are you with me? Not because Tom, because Harry said that, because you studied God's word, you thought about it, you spent time in prayer, you've taken counsel. He said, yeah. You're bold to receive from God. If you want to do great things for God, take a bold move. Let me tell you, it starts with, not with a step or a shuffle. It starts with a leap. It's action. After you have pre-contemplation stage, you've contemplated, then you action. You take a bold move. You leap. The place where I am and the place where I could be is so close that it is frightening, but I have to jump. Are you with me? The fourth one is rallying. That means, without you realizing, positive people surround you. Other believers surround you. They rally around you. The presence of God comes over you. It's not knowledge, but Jesus is real. His presence is real. Jesus is not an idea. Jesus is not a doctrine. He's a person. He's God's holy son. His sweet presence comes all over you. Not negative people, positive people. In your phone you have, when you make a call you have a green switch. I don't have this on here, but you have a green switch and a red switch. Am I right? A green switch and a red switch. Why? Why did God do that for you on your phone? The green are the positive people. People of faith and people who walk under the anointing and people who walk under the gifting of God and walk with Jesus. The red are the negative ones who are complaining, murmuring and grumbling and questioning and irritating and disturbing. And you can choose which one you're going to pick up and which you're going to stop. Because it is your time for your bold move. Are you with me? It was a huge decision when we had to buy this property years back. I was happy in a rented place. People would tell me, people who have bought a property and moved in, most of them, the ministry has collapsed after that. All these fears would come up and I would spend time with the Lord and say, Lord, is it from you? And I waited for the time till I could feel God's presence on my life. And I could see the rallying of God's troops around me. That gave me the boldness. Boom. And now I'm still waiting on God for some major decisions for the church. I'm waiting for the time of God's presence and His anointing and the presence of God and people of God just rallying around. Are you with me? Because we're going to do some bold things for the kingdom of God. The people who know their Lord shall be strong and do great exploits. That's what the book of Daniel says. The people who know the Lord shall be strong and do great exploits. The fourth one is momentum. To understand the rallying thing, you just need to watch Wimbledon or watch a cricket match. An entire nation is rallying around our cricket team. By the way, what was the score today? Did we win or not? Anybody? Less spiritual? Who know this? No? Okay. Then their country is rallying around. The fourth one is momentum. Open your mouth and say momentum. Momentum. That means it will come. Momentum is speed plus mass. Speed plus mass brings in momentum. That is why it is harder for a truck to stop than for a car. It's heavier. And if it is coming really fast, what happens to most people is that they start a business, they start a ministry, and they don't allow or they don't wait for the momentum to come. They quit too soon. But if you have rallied, if you have stay there, let me tell you, the presence of God shall come upon you. The momentum shall come. Are you with me? God shall show up. God's presence shall show up. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's see if we can clump it all together in scriptural points from Psalm 23 now. Here the psalmist is saying, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I have momentum. Lord, you are with me. Your presence is there with me. And your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And you're bringing me to this place where you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. And my cup shall run over. Are you with me? But how does it start? Psalm 23:1. Look at that. Psalm 23:1.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Say that again.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Say that again.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Open your mouth and say that, every one of you together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In the Hebrew, it is speaking about what God will do for us in the future. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, into the future. There are many who are afraid of getting old. You're afraid whether you will get sick, whether you will lose your job, whether you won't be able to finish the race, whether you will lose your dream. But how many of you know the scripture speaks about God has laid up provisions for your future? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Are you with me? It's just not about today. He's laid up. You don't need to be stressed out about your future. You don't need to be afraid and anxious about your future. The Lord, shout it out again. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But it also means God will take care of my present. In other words, into my present situation. This week, Pastor, don't get so high tech. Pastor, just tell me, will I pass my exam this week? Yes, God will step in. I've got a business meeting, Pastor, this week. Will God help me with that? Yes, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He will step in. He's a very present help in times of trouble. There are things in your life this week which only God can straighten out. And be assured of God's promise. The Lord is your shepherd. Hallelujah. You shall not want. Hallelujah. He will step into your need. He will meet with you this week. And God will straighten out things that concerns you. Praise the Lord. Amen. And it also means in Hebrew, three meanings. It means God knows our past. God will take care of our past. Look at somebody and say, God will take care of our past. Say that again. God, say that with boldness. God will take care of our past. Amen. There are many people who are scared whether their past will track them down. Many of you know that yesterday, God wants you to know, He's not only concerned about your future, not only about your present, but even about your yesterday. The Lord says, I will step in. The shepherd will step in. Maybe it is your disappointments, failures, things that you've messed up in, but Jesus is saying, listen, don't think about it. Don't contemplate about that and lose out on making a bold move for your future. I will step in things concerning your past. I will stand between you and your enemies. I will make sure that the enemies don't hunt you down or break down your spirit. I will step in. Wow, come on, church. I need to hear a bigger amen and a hallelujah than that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. I shall not want. Verses 2 and 3, please, very fast.
He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake.
Amen. Since of lack of time, I just want you to give a headline to that. You can read through and meditate upon it. I want you to say that He prepares me. Open your mouth and say that He prepares me. He prepares me. Every drama in your life, every situation, every trouble is actually a preparation ground. Don't stress. Are you with me? He prepares you. God won't allow you to carry your present luggage into your future. That is why He prepares you. He prepares you. How does He do that? He will lay me down in green pastures. That word green means fertile. Fertile ground. Not dead grass. Fertile ground. Fresh grass. Therefore, don't hang out with dead grass. Are you with me? Don't hang out in relationships which are not going anywhere. It's fresh what God wants to do. Green pastures. Green pastures speaks about nourishment and growth. So what God is saying is don't allow things to rally around you that is dead. It says here, He restores my soul. How many of you are glad that God can restore your soul? Just not your body, your soul. Your soul is your mind, your emotions, your will. Things that bother you in your mind, God is saying, I'll restore it. Things that you're worked up about, God says, I'll restore it. God is saying, listen, I will restore your will. You think you are weak-willed and weak and on the point of falling again and again. God is saying, I will restore your will. I'll make you strong in your will that you will be committed to me. Wow, what a shepherd we have. What a shepherd we have. Hallelujah. What a shepherd, a bold move for God. He can restore your will. You were giving into depression and negativity and fear. And God is saying, listen, I can restore your soul. Where you will be strong enough to resist every negative thought and say, no, I'm bold for God. I'm not going to walk in unbelief. I'm bold for God. Oh, come on, church. Some of you happy being weak. You don't want God to restore you. Lift your head and say, Lord, restore my soul. Restore my soul. Restore my soul. Your emotions. Sometimes people, their emotions are all over the place. You're crying, angry, happy, restless. All over the place. And God is saying, I can restore your soul. I want you to look at three people around you and say, God can operate through you. Be bold. God can operate through your soul. Be bold. Say that to three people. Two or three witnesses. God can operate through your soul. Be bold. Be bold. Be bold. So it says here, you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I hate to say this, but I got to say it. In your journey with the Lord, there is going to be some painful situations. Don't wish it on anybody, but that will come to everybody. Sometimes you wish, you know, God, you're so good. Why can't you just ease down all your blessings to me? Just ease it down. Just ease it down, Lord. Can you save the trouble? Sometimes we look at somebody else and we think they have it easy in life. This woman of God who was here this morning, I asked her, Is anything easy for you? You had fantastic, anointed parents. So was ministry easy? He said, no, Pastor. There is nothing of ease. You look at some people and you think, hey, they got everything made. But how many of you know everything is not easy? Nothing is easy in life. It is the challenges of the valley of the shadow of death that build your character, that makes you strong. Caterpillar becomes the butterfly. It is in the cocoon. It's a painful, traumatic experience. It's fighting to come out. If you go and open one side of the cocoon so that caterpillar can come out, the caterpillar will come out, the butterfly won't. Are you with me? It is that pressure of fighting or just trying to get out of that that gives the caterpillar the wings, the liquid in the wings to make it a beautiful butterfly. But no fear. Why? Because Lord, you are with me. Look at somebody and say, the Lord will protect you. Amen. It says, hey, though I walk through, not to, though I walk through, say that with me, though I walk through, not to, but if I walk through, you will walk through it, you will walk through it, you will walk through it, you won't get stuck there.
He is your shepherd. He will come behind you. He will give you momentum. He will protect you. He will keep you. And He will bring you through. You will walk through it. Hallelujah. Into a spacious place of the blessing of God. Put your hands together. Give a clap of unto Jesus. The valley is not your destination. Valley, shadows, darkness might be there. Things not very clear. Valley. But it is the valleys that helps you to appreciate the mountain. It is the lack in your life that makes you to appreciate luxury when it comes to you. Are you with me? It is the very experience of having no money in your pocket that makes you to appreciate when God blesses you with riches. You will only appreciate your spouse when you're single. You will appreciate your job when you have no job. You will appreciate your car when you had to walk or travel by bus. And you say, thank you, Lord. But though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For His presence is with me. He's promised me He will never leave me or forsake me. But He will be with me. Praise the Lord. And He will bring me to that place with momentum, where He's got a table prepared for me in the very presence of the people who hate me. Are you with me? Amen. So this is the word this evening. Close your eyes, let's pray together. Some of you just need to meditate on this psalm and make it personal. The Lord is my shepherd. Jesus. The next bold move, boldness to move through that valley into the place that God has kept for you of goodness and mercy, of a table spread out, of the blessings of God, and to be in the house of God. This evening I want to ask you, do you know Jesus as your shepherd? Maybe you know Him as Lord. But say, Jesus, I want to know You as my shepherd. I want to know You more. I want to know You as my shepherd, Lord. Jesus, lead me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, either in the future or in the present or because of my past. Say those words from your mouth. Jesus, You are the Son of God.
The Son of God.
And You are the Good Shepherd.
The Good Shepherd.
Jesus, You gave Your life for me.
Jesus, You gave Your life for me.
I commit my life to You.
I commit my life to You.
Help me to have the boldness. To move forward,
go forward
from shadows, from darkness, from the valley, of death. Thank You, Lord.
Thank You,
give
Lord.
Me the boldness,
to see
the blessing You have kept for me.
Kept for me.
I renounce Satan. I renounce the world.
Renounce the world.
Cleanse me with your precious blood.
Me with your blood.
Fill me with boldness, that comes from your Holy Spirit. I will fear no evil. For Jesus, you are with me. Let me enjoy your presence. Let your tangible presence be upon me, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come, church, stand up in the presence of God. Lift your hands and praise Him.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.